What comes to your mind when you think about church? Do you think about messages being preached, worship music being sung, activities and programs? What does a normal church look like? What if we took away everything we knew about the church as an organization, from church history or our church traditions? And what if we looked at the book of Acts as the blueprint for a normal church? First, we would see that a normal church is a praying church. In the book of Acts, we see prayer meetings everywhere. As people of God, we are called to pray both individually and corporately. We would see that a normal church is a supernatural church where people are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We would see that a normal church is a spiritual community of people who care for one another and for the community around them. A normal church experiences persecution, resistance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A normal church is a mission-driven church where people are obsessed with reaching their community around them and the furthest corners of the world. So join us together as we find out what it means to act normal.
Well, good morning, Grace Assembly of God. We are so glad that you're here on this Guy's Day, Father's Day. Amen. What would Father's Day be if we didn't have a few memes for dads? So let's take a look and see what we've got here today on some memes that will come up. There we go. Happy Father's Day, Yoda best dad. Okay, so all you Trekkies and Star Wars fans out there, here's another one for us. Yeah, thanks for holding me up all these years, Dad. How many dads, never mind. That's happened to me a few times, so. Okay, here's another one. I don't always look lovingly at someone, but when I do, it's my dad. So for all the dog lovers and pet lovers, and especially all the dachshund lovers, amen. All right. Before you become a father, the most important question you have to ask yourself is, are you willing to watch the same cartoon for the next 4 years? My goodness, it wasn't a cartoon in our house. It was Annie with Daddy Warbucks, you know, and yeah, I still remember those songs very well. Okay, next one. Yeah, I just saved $300 by switching to Geico. I had to put that up there. That's a tribute to my dad. And last but not least, from the Bracket Dads, happy Father's Day to all of you here today. We honor you. Amen. Following our service this morning, we have a dad's root beer for you. So for all the guys 18 years of age and up, we have one for you. For those of you that look like you're younger than 18, you'll need to have your IDs available. Well, what a privilege it is to be able to stand before you this morning and participate in this awesome theme that Pastor has started for us on the book of Acts, Act Normal. And so it is a special privilege of mine today to be able to stand here. And Pastor, I honor you and I thank you for the privilege to be able to stand here on this Father's Day and be a part of this amazing sermon series. Before I dive right into it, I want to take just a quick minute and recognize someone very special to all of us in Johnson County that you may not even be aware of, but I'd like for Chapman Johnson to stand. He is walking in the steps of great men, a graduate of West Point, and is now getting ready to serve our country. And so, Chapman, we honor you today and thank you for your service to our country today. Amen. Just remember, I knew you when you were in diapers, so. Act normal in the presence of the supernatural. I wonder what would happen if the sounds of the supernatural interrupted our orderly church service. I find it interesting that today, 24 years ago, 1995, June 18th, Father's Day, the Brownsville Revival broke out in Pensacola, Florida, and it changed a generation of people. I had the privilege to attend that revival a few times, pastors' conferences, and it absolutely was an amazing sovereign move of God that literally touched the nation. Out of that revival came Grand Rapids revival and several other revivals across the country that broke out. But for us this morning in this sermon series, act normal in the presence of the supernatural, what would happen? What would happen if the supernatural power of God showed up right here, right now, in our orderly services? In order to answer that question, we're going to have to set some global context. And we need to evaluate a few things on a larger scale versus just our purview of Grace Assembly of God in Greenwood, Indiana. So let me set the context for you a little bit more broadly so that we get a better feel for what's going on in our world. For example, Christianity has a high cost. In many countries, there are negative consequences for those who follow Jesus Christ. I did not come to church this morning under the threat of my life. I was able to get in my vehicle, drive here peacefully, safely, and I arrived at church with a great sense of anticipation, no fear. America has a treasure trove of Bibles, religious resources, and unrestricted broadcasting. It is amazing at the amount of material and content we have. I personally have over 40 translations of the Bible on my computer. I have over 1,700 volumes in my personal digital library that I can study the Word of God and tools that I can use. It is amazing at what we have available to us. But consider, Turkmenistan received a full copy of the Bible in their language in 2016. Just a few years ago, they got their very first full copy of the Word of God. How about Uzbekistan? They received a full copy of the Bible in their language just last year. And so here we are in this great nation with multiple options of Bibles and resources at our fingertips to advance the message and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider also the global church does not rely so much on buildings to accomplish church. Now we have a media arts center. That basically is kind of the technical description of this style of building that we're in this morning. And it allows us to do some amazing things. But consider the church on a larger scale. There are many churches that are meeting out under a tree in an open field, in a little tiny, what we would call closet room, and they are conducting church. They don't have the benefit of a room like this with the technology that's all around us. We truly are blessed today, Grace Assembly of God. We are blessed. Consider also the economic hardships that make ministry difficult. I mean, when you have offerings that range from 50 cents a week to chickens and bags of rice being put in the offering bucket, it's a little hard to kind of advance the agenda and the programs that you might want to initiate in your place of the world. Can I just tell you that as the executive pastor of this church, I sweat bullets when we drop below our weekly budgeted amount of money? Trust me, I do. You can ask Miss Barb about that. I mean, we have some freak out moments in my office. It's like, holy cow, what just happened here? And so, yes, but 50 cents? Chickens? Rice? I don't think that would advance the cause very far with meager means, but yet that is true in many places of the world. There is a lack of global emotional support networks. People either survive or they die prematurely. You and I have the benefit of Celebrate Recovery. divorce care, divorce recovery, and all kinds of addiction programs, substance abuse programs, that you can get into a group of believers and support network, and you can survive and you can move beyond that. But that's not true in many places of the world. There's a lack of these emotional support networks. Spiritual hunger is more intense globally than maybe what we might see in the North American context. Now listen, make no mistake about it, there are some amazing things that's going on in North America. But when you don't have a building and you're out in a field, or you're behind closed doors and praying that the law enforcement agency doesn't break in on you and arrest you, when you don't have the technology available at your fingertips and you are dependent upon a few precious moments to pull together and draw together into the presence of God, can I tell you that the power of God shows up in amazing ways in these church services? For example, in Colombia, they have regularly 1,000 people that show up at 6 a.m. for prayer meetings. By the way, Tuesday morning, 6 o'clock, prayer meeting. Would you look at your neighbor real sweetly, make eye contact, and tell him, he's talking to you. Oh, in this place on Tuesday morning, we gather the connect cards, the prayer requests, praise reports, all of that. That all gets laid out right here around the altar, and every single request gets prayed over. There are people that are walking about in this room praying and seeking and asking God for a touch of God for your need. There are people today in local churches that the church is not big enough to hold the crowds, and they're putting folding chairs outside the windows of the church, and so they can sit outside in the hot sun. Now think about this. Global churches rely on the supernatural power of God. Unscripted Pentecostal outbursts are a regular phenomena. I want to say to you that Pentecost is normal, not abnormal. Our church needs to be marked by the power of God on a regular basis. When people walk into this room, you need to come into this room expecting the unexpected, believing the unbelievable. I know what the doctor may have said, but I know what my doctor is saying about this matter. By his stripes, I am healed. He's going to move mountains in my life. He's going to eliminate the hindrances, and I'm going to walk out of here victorious in the power of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Thank you. I need you to help me a little bit. You don't have to call me a white boy. That's Pastor Matthias. That's his thing. Hey, you, oh, me, dear God, help him, something, any, all the above. But let me set a scriptural context. That's a global context. And I want to look at a scriptural context. The context this morning is Pentecost. I hope you've got your Bibles, and you can leaf the pages over to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at the first four verses. And I hope you brought a Bible this morning. This is what it looks like. It has a cover. It has pages. It makes noise when you turn. You can tear pages. It has a smell to it. For those of you that don't have it, you can go ahead and turn on your digital whatever. But let me set some context. Pentecost is where we're going to camp out, and we're going to look at this. Pentecost experience. Out of that flows miracles of healing and deliverance, reordering of religious systems, and the missional enterprise of the church all began at Pentecost. The author of our text is Luke, the great physician. He is the one that is going to use the grammar system of his day to communicate what had never been seen, never been heard, never been experienced, and he's going to take his language and communicate to us, what was it? What did we see? What did we hear? What did we feel? And what was the outcome? Okay? Now you say, what's the big deal about that, Pastor? Can I just tell you? There's only so much bling and flash that you can do. After a while, you've got to give a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. After a while, the mouth has to come open and the words have got to start flowing out of the goodness of the Lord. I used to be this way, but now I'm this way after the touch of God. Can you say amen? So words are important to us this morning. The place is the upper room meeting where something that had never been experienced before took place. However, when it came, they were going to recognize it. Now, that's kind of an interesting challenge in a prayer meeting. Hey, everybody, I want you together this coming Tuesday morning, and we're going to pray for a dynamic move of God. We're not really for sure what it's going to look like, sound like, feel like, or anything like that, but hey, the Lord said for us to come, and we're going to come and gather, and by the way, we're going to stay till it shows up. Yeah, that means some of y'all are going to be late. You're going to be late to work, going to be late to all kinds of chores. You're just going to be late because we're going to wait. Now see, that's an interesting challenge, isn't it? Stay there till it comes. But consider some facts that actually happen. First of all, consider the glossolalia. The glossolalia is the tongues. When the Holy Spirit came, it came speaking in other languages. That's a fact. Also, it came speaking in foreign languages by uneducated and unlearned citizens. In other words, it's not that they were just ignorant. It's just that they had never had the privilege of language school. They had not studied these other languages. But supernaturally and sovereignly, the power of God came, and they began to speak in languages they had never studied, began to create sounds and enunciations they had never done before. That would be like you and I all of a sudden getting the Holy Spirit upon us and starting to speak German. Germans all the time, the language sounds like you're trying to clear your throat. And it always sounds like, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes and you start to speak it fluently. That happened at Pentecost. The result of what took place in those facts was that these Christ followers that were there, something happened to them physically, emotionally, spiritually. It happened to them. They all of a sudden were filled with zeal, and they set the world on fire. In fact, Scripture says, are these those who have turned the world upside down and now they've come here also? Are these the ones that were working wonders and signs over here and now they're here? Yes, there was something about the exuberance of what took place at Pentecost that changed their life. Can I tell you that when the presence and the power of God shows up in the church, you're going to be changed. You're not going to be the same. You're going to be a different person. When God comes down and answers the dilemma of your life, you have no answer, you have no resources, you don't even know which ends up, let alone what day it is, and you know you've got to have God in your life to do something you cannot do, and God does it, it's going to change you. All of a sudden, your hands are going up. You're going to start praising the Lord. You might even do a little religious two-step in your room or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you can't wait to tell everybody about what just happened to me. You see, there are things that happened at Pentecost that changed the church. That's just my introduction. Now for the big idea. Here's the big so what right here. Catch this. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is marked by regular manifestations of the supernatural power of God so that the message of Christ may be heard and believed. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is marked by regular manifestations. That's the so what in this sermon. The sermon only has 2 points to it, so I'm trying to keep it very simple. Don't get excited. It's only 2 points. Doesn't mean anything. 30 minutes each, somewhere in that ballpark. Just kidding, okay? Some of you are looking at me, it's like, oh my God. 2 points. Here's the first one. Supernatural power in the upper room look at these scriptures with me here this morning. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. They were together, one place. And suddenly, all of a sudden, we knew something was going to happen. We were told to stay there till it comes. And then suddenly, it broke in. Suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled, emphasis here, filled. They didn't get just goosebumps, a little dose of the Holy Ghost. They got something, filled them. They hadn't been filled in this way before. They had not experienced this before. It was new. And when it came, it filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want us to draw our attention to the macro, not the micro. I want us to look at the big concepts. I don't want to get lost in the minutia and the details. I think it's a real tragedy how that the discussion of tongues has become a stumbling block to the greater dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to get lost in that this morning. I want you to see the trajectory that the church was set upon because of Pentecost, and that Pentecostal power is our Pentecostal power today. You think we've done some great things here at Grace Assembly of God? Oh, fasten your seatbelts, honey. You have not seen anything yet. Okay? You think this is the grand conclusion to God's scheme in Johnson County? Oh, set up. Pay attention. We haven't even begun to reach that zenith yet. It's not about the end result. It's about the journey of transformation. It's the journey of the power of God. It's the touching of lives in Johnson County and beyond. So let's look at the macro. They were in one place praying. They sought a phenomena that they had never seen or experienced. They were told it was going to be powerful and otherworldly. The Holy Spirit came in a manner that was seen, heard, and personally transformed the worshipers and was observable by people outside the upper room attendees. Those outside declared, "Are we not hearing our own languages by these people?" You see, it was intelligible languages. It was language that they had not understood, had not learned, and yet they spoke, and it was identified. Can I just say this to you this morning? The power of the Holy Spirit comes speaking. We hear it. It transforms, we testify, it's observable, and others are wanting to know what is going on in that place. Amen? I mean, I was just thinking this morning, what would happen if certain ones of our regular attendees that we pray for you in your physical touch, I wonder what would happen if all of a sudden we don't need the walker anymore to help us get about and it's folded up and Cheryl goes and carries it out to the car instead of walking behind it. Oh, come on. What if somebody that had a diagnosis that you've only got so many days before you're going to meet your maker, get your house in order? What if all of a sudden God come down and rearrange the order of that testimony and start raising up people that though they were declared dead, they're still here today with us in the house of God? You see, that's the kind of power of God that ought to be a regular occurrence. What was the outcome of all this? Okay, they were in an upper room, they prayed, they waited, it came, wind, tongues, fire, speaking in languages. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Loudmouth Apostle Peter got anointed. Instead of just being braggadocious and all puffed up on himself, he got something. And so he stood up and he began to speak. What was the outcome? 3,000 souls added to the church that day. Can I tell you, we don't have 3,000 seats in here. That's a problem. Oh, boy, wouldn't that be a fun problem? Amen. We can accommodate that. Trust me. There are strategies and there are ways to do that. So don't get hung up on that. Oh, my goodness, we can't have 3,000. The building's not big enough. Oh, yes, it is. We can have church every night. Well, that was kind of weak, but that's okay. What else happened? Evidently, there was teaching that was taking place. There was fellowship, and the fellowship was not the kind of fellowship that you and I are commonly familiar with. Hey, you want to go out after church? Let's go to Starbucks. Let's go down and get a sack of 20. Or not. Do they have White Castles in California? Oh. Okay. Lunch tomorrow. Fellowship in the New Testament was setting together, doing life together, walking together, the ability to share hurts together, and knowing that other people are genuinely going to pray for you. Wait a minute. That sounds like groups. We've been asking for everyone to get in a group because it's biblical. It's the place to where this kind of koinonia fellowship takes place. It's where we can laugh together, do life together, share burdens together, pray for one another, get on the phone and call one another, find out somebody's sick, start a prayer chain in the group. You see, there's good things that happen when you get in that kind of fellowship. Also, they were breaking the bread, or in other words, they were having communion on a regular basis, and they were involved in prayer. They were sharing of resources to assist others that were in need, worshiping God, having favor with all people. Do you get this? This is the macro idea. This is the trajectory that the church took off in. It had not been occurring. It was not happening. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit breathes in on that group of worshipers, and the church began to change its direction. It began to change its motivation. It began to change its purpose and its outcomes. And things began to happen in that community. So what's the big result? Here's the big result. God grew the church daily. Daily. Let's just pause there for just a quick moment. Daily. I like words, and I'm a word nut. I'm one of these guys that will go downtown to the big library and go to the section of books on etymology studies. Etymology simply means the study of words. I enjoy looking at the history of words, and I look forward to diving into the meaning of words. And so curiosity got the best of me, and I went and looked up daily to see if there's some special nugget that I'm overlooking. And guess what I found out? It means every day. He grew the church every day, daily. Well, Pastor Gary, oh my goodness. How's that going to happen? We have Sunday service. We have First Wednesday. We've got groups. And every day, we're not even at the church every day. Well, though, there's an idea. I'm telling you, if God steps into the room in the supernatural, listen, I'm talking about normalcy. Things changed in the New Testament church, and God was touching the church on a regular, consistent basis, and things were happening in powerful ways. Do not lose the focus just on the manifestation. Rather, focus on the result. Christ exalted and his kingdom advanced. Listen, I had the privilege of witnessing a true Pentecost. Several years ago, I was in Baban, Swaziland, and I was at the International Church, and I was there to speak that morning, and the church was being held in an old theater. And the praise and worship team was up front, and they were leading everybody, and it was an acoustical set, and they, you know, African music is just, there's just something about that. I mean, you know, the white boy can't dance or jump, but I like that rhythm. And, you know, I just, you know, kind of the bones just start moving a little bit, and I just like it. And all of a sudden, one of the praise and worship members began to speak in tongues. And while they are speaking in tongues, it suddenly occurred to me, I know what that language is. They were speaking New Testament Greek. The reason I know that language, I sweat blood for 4 years to learn that language. And so they started speaking John 1:1 and following, quoted the entire chapter. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and right on. I leaned over to the pastor. Now, here's the miracle of this whole thing for me. I'm 10,000 miles away from home. I do not know what possessed me on the way out of my office to make sure I've got all of my resource material and teaching materials and got everything. I reached over and pulled a copy, and it's not this one, but I have a red covered New Testament Greek New Testament. I grabbed that. Now, I don't know why I thought that I needed that. 10,000 miles away from home in Swaziland. And I'm toting around a New Testament Greek version of the Bible. The Greek language. And so I leaned over to the pastor and I reached over and grabbed that Bible without even thinking about it. I opened it up and I held it out here to him. And I said, Pastor, right here's where we are. And just follow my finger and I'll translate for you while we go. Oh my goodness, he got so excited over that. He jumped up on the stage, which was higher than this. So, yes sir, he can jump. Jumped up on that stage, interrupted the service, and he said, folks, what we have been praying for has arrived. I mean, that place erupted under the power of God, and that church service in which I was kind of thinking, you know, lunchtime, we're getting close. Oh, no. No, we didn't have lunch or supper because we didn't get it out of there till the early evening hours. I mean, Pentecost showed up in language that they had not learned and had not studied. I'm here to tell you that it's real. I don't want to get hung up just on the language. I want you to understand the trajectory that it sets a church on. And that church was lit on fire. And they went on to accomplish amazing things all the way to the palace of the king. Yes, God is up to some things. What is our challenge? Pentecost is not a one-time experience. I don't want us to think that we're just here to talk about just a touch of God, a service of God that is extra energized. I mean, you know, Pastor Steve, God love his heart. I mean, he's the proverbial energizer bunny rabbit in his church. My word, he's the only guy that I know that can lead songs and direct the band with his head and his feet while jumping and praising God. I mean, what's up with that? But there's a reason behind it, because he is motivated in his own testimony to me. Pastor Gary, I want to be a part of the next great outbreak of Pentecostal power in our land. In fact, I want to be right in the middle of it. So he's working on his part. Okay? So if you're a first-time visitor here this morning and you're sitting back here thinking, what is up with that guy? Don't be alarmed. It's every day. Even when we're not in church service, it's up and down the hallways. Comes in my office and it's still the same thing. I said, dude, sit down, okay? You're making a nervous wreck out of me. Pentecost is not a one-time experience. It is not a one-time thrill. The church with Pentecostal power, normal Pentecostal power, coming into church this morning believing that God was already here waiting on me. Normal in the sense that lives are going to be transformed. People are going to be saved. Bodies are going to be healed. People are going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Believing in the normal activity of the Holy Spirit God showing up in this place, we can go further, faster with the Holy Spirit than we can without it. Now hear me this morning. You don't have to be a genius here this morning to understand what kind of condition our world is. We're in uncharted waters right now. We're in a political theater that's not like anything I would have ever believed. We're living in a global situation that is very threatening, and it's almost like it's on a hair trigger just waiting to erupt. And can I tell you, this is not about my personal thrill and getting goosebumps on a Sunday morning so I can walk out of here and show everybody I got my goosebump card punched this morning. The Holy Spirit touched me, see? I'm not interested in just a little touch like that. I'm interested in a church that's transformed because we have a world that needs to be transformed. This world is falling apart and somebody has got to have a different power. Come on. We've got to have a different power. We've got to have a different attitude about us. We've got to have a different voice about us. There's got to be a different sound about us. We can't be like everybody else. We can't act like everybody else. People have got to walk in here knowing that God is in this place in a manner I've never seen. Point number two. Supernatural power in our church today. Everybody okay? You with me? Everybody? Take a deep cleansing breath. It's okay. Pentecostal power in this church, Grace Assembly of God. With the day of Pentecost as our catalyst and the supernatural becoming the normal way of doing church, how it was performed, how it was conducted, how it was expected to occur. With that as a backdrop, consider the fact that in the book of Acts, there are some 20 individual miracles that are recorded and took place. In your sermon notes this morning, on the back page, there is a chart that we've attempted to list many of these miracles for you for your further study. But I not only want to draw your attention on that page to the individual miracles. In other words, there was an event, the power of God showed up, and there was a miracle performed. But there are 9 instances in the book of Acts in which there were cluster miracles. Cluster miracles, it's just simply more than one. Now, listen, this is my 44th year of ministry, so I've been around a while. I cut my teeth on church pews. If I was sick and I told my dad, I said, "Dad, I'm sick, I don't feel good tonight, I need to stay home." He said, "No, boy, just come on, we're going to church. We'll pray for you, lay hands on you, you'll get better, everything will be fine." "Dad, I got homework for school." "That's okay, just sit on the back pew, bring it with you. You're going to church, boy." Yeah, I went to church. And so in going to church and understanding the importance of church, I've also understand the importance when God shows up, and I saw that as a child. I can still remember today old Sister Mitchell. She was the piano player. She'd get up on that piano and start playing the hymns of the church. Young people, those are books. They have notations and words on it. Praise and worship had not been invented yet. Yes, I hate to admit it, but I predate praise and worship. Okay, yeah, I see those hands back there. Yes, okay. And I can remember when the power of God would get a hold of Sister Mitchell, and all of a sudden she'd start playing in a different note and start singing a more heavenly song that nobody had ever heard before. And I knew as a kid sitting on the pew, I knew when it happened, and I could watch her, and there were just chills that would run all over me as a kid, and I couldn't even explain it to you what was going on, but I knew God was in the house. You see, when God shows up and does a miracle, that's pretty amazing. But how about when God shows up and there is a cluster of miracles that take place? You see, I've been in the services to where I've seen old-fashioned prayer lines. You used to have these old-fashioned prayer lines where the ministers and deacons and everybody line up in the front and people would just pass through and they would anoint them as they come through. I have watched as a kid. I've watched them come through one end being pushed in a wheelchair and come out the other end pushing the wheelchair. I've watched them come in on a stretcher being carried and come out on the other end carrying their own stretcher. You see, I understand what it's like to see a cluster of miracles in a single service. And my prayer is, God, please don't let me pass out of this world and without being able to see that again. Being able to see multiple miracles in the house of God, transforming, changing, breaking bondage, healing diseases in the house of God. Let the power of God show up like that. What was the result of all that? Chapter 5, verse 14 in the book of Acts. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes. Underline it in your Bible, take note of it, highlight it, do whatever you need to do. Not onesie twosies. I don't mean that disrespectfully. Heaven rejoices and the party breaks out over one finding their way to eternal life in Jesus Christ. But we're not talking onesie twosies here, we're talking multitudes. Multitudes of both men and women. What was the result? There it is. That's what was going on. I want to give you a closing illustration and then we're going to pray. Right now in China, behind closed doors, there are young people, senior high schoolers and college age students. Behind closed doors are praying right now, Lord, I want to be a martyr for you. I want to die for you. Francis Chan was in some of those meetings just recently and he inquired, what's the motivation behind this? They responded this way. They said, your question is rather odd and strange. Wouldn't you want to be a martyr and die and give your life for Jesus after all he has given for you? And he said, in that moment, it was just like a dagger that went through my heart. He said, I suddenly realized I had been doing church instead of being church. And so that just kind of messed him up in that visit. And he goes on to tell the story, his personal journey, in his most recent book, Letters to the Church by Francis Chan. It's a book. I encourage you to read it if you dare. But please understand, it's a book that's going to mess you up. Okay? It's an awesome book. In that book, he tells this story. In my 16 years or so at Simi Valley, he said, I acted and behaved like the modern preacher. He said, all of the known ministers that you see, podcasts, and all over social media, that group, he said, that's my group. That was my group of peeps. We all run together and hung together and talked together, had each other's personal cell phone numbers, called each other on a regular basis. Hey, what are you doing this week? Hey, have you heard about this idea? Hey, have you tried this? Hey, I went to that seminar, got this. Man, you need to go. He said, I was that guy. I was right there in the middle of that circle. And he said, but that experience in China messed me up. And he said, I suddenly realized I don't want to do church no more. I want to be church. And he said, so today, instead of rejoicing over all of the things that I do, he said, I cry over my own humanity. And I want God to use me in a new way before I die. So he has started a whole new initiative of house church. The point of the illustration is Pentecost changes you. It changes direction. It changes attitude. It changes disposition. It changes zeal and passion. And yes, it will change the way you do church. Think about it. Souls are perishing, and they need Jesus. So we're going to pray, and there are some things that we need to pray about. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. As they are coming and getting here and positioning themselves, all of our prayer team leaders, you know who you are. There are some things that I want us to pray about. Right at the top of the list this morning, I don't make an apology at all for asking this church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have not ever been filled with the Holy Spirit, this is a day of opportunity for you. And when I invite you to come, these that are standing here are going to pray with you. I don't want you to get lost in the details of this experience. Heavenly language is a powerful language. And there are a series of sermons that could be preached just on that, and we don't have that time this morning. But I want you just simply to trust the activity of God and allow Him to move through you. The tongues is not the end result, it's only the beginning of the journey of heavenly power and work through you to advance the message of Jesus. The second thing I want us to pray about is I believe we need to repent for underestimating the power of God to perform on our behalf. We get desperate sometimes and we can't see beyond our circumstance and we lose perspective. God, are you still out there? Will you ever touch me? How are you ever going to resolve this, God? I don't see a way. Can I tell you? We're serving a way maker. And I want you to embrace the reality that God can do more than you can ask or even think to ask Him. And then thirdly, I want us to repent over overestimating our power to get the job done. I got this, God. That's okay. I got it. I'll take care of it. No, I don't want to take care of anything. I just want to let go and let Him direct and guide. When we do that, a whole different church is going to emerge. A whole new you is going to emerge. And we're going to go further, faster than we've ever dreamed possible. Would you stand right now? And as you're standing, if you want prayer, I want you to come. Come on, right now, without hesitation, stand before one of these prayer team members right now. And let's believe God together for the dynamic work of God in your life right now. Come on. Come on, without hesitation. Without hesitation. Don't delay. You know who you are. God is calling. God is moving on you. Church, everyone praying right now. Let's just pray over these requests, over these needs. As others are coming. As others are coming. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank you, church, for being here on this Father's Day today, being a part of this service. This altar remains open. We don't stop this altar activity. We recognize that there are family obligations. We understand. But I want to bless you this morning while these are continuing to pray and while you still have an opportunity to come forward. I want to encourage that. Please don't leave and get in a hurry. Tarry and wait for the Lord to touch you today. But I want to bless you this morning. I want to speak a blessing over you as a church this morning. I bless this congregation today with health. May the healing power of heaven rest upon this place and bring health and wholeness to your body. I bless you with the favor of God today, that where your feet take you and the things that your hand touch, that you will be blessed doubly so of the Lord. I bless you with prosperity, that what your hand seeks to accomplish, that God will bless you more than you ever thought possible. And I bless you in the power of the Holy Spirit of heaven to accomplish what you've never dreamed, to go where you never thought possible, and to become the man and woman of God that you've longed for a long time. I bless you in Jesus' name. Go with God. We're so glad that you're here. All of our men, 18 years of age and up, stop by and pick up your dad's root beer today. God bless you. Thank you for being here. This altar remains open here this morning.